wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. God's remedy for troubled minds. In my previous message, we saw a man with mental illness. His plague was in his head. And we followed that leprous man to the border of Israel's camp. There we saw him throw up his hat, tear off his clothes, and kicked out of human society, he wandered in the wilderness as an animal. As he disappeared without the camp, we hear his moanful cry of self-condemnation, unclean, unclean, unclean. What a terrible sight. Mental illness has banished many to an insane asylum. But to be a sinner before God leaves one with both a head and body, a soul and a life blighted and ruined. So they wander in the wilderness of this world, being without God, without Christ, and having no hope. The exiled, dehumanized leper had no song in his heart, for he had no peace, no joy, and no hope. To him, life was a painful existence. The memory of the past only intensified his misery, and for him, the future held no prospect. Neighbor, that's God's picture of everyone who is still in his sins. Theirs is only a blighted past, a miserable present, and a hopeless future. That leprous man would soon be forgotten by his neighbors and relatives, for this is a cold and heartless world. But there was one who did not forget him. Up there in heaven was a living Lord. His heart was touched with that sight of human misery, and he said, I will come down and cleanse that man. I will deliver him from his misery. I will make him a new man. He was cast out, but I will bring him in. He was despised and thrown on the refuse heap, but I will make him my child and my heir, so that even the angels will envy him. This is the great heart of God towards sinners, a heart of compassion and grace. Neighbor, you may be counted no good and thrown out on the scrap pile of humanity, but God loves you. You whose minds are slipping, take it in. God loves you. He knows your sorrows, your troubles, and your worries. He sees you weakening under the load of them. His heart goes out to you in your distress. Right now, the Lord Jesus is in heaven. He's looking down over the world to find that helpless, hopeless sinner that needs his mercy. If you're that one, call to him like the 10 lepers did, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He will respond, for God in his mercy has planned for your salvation. How? This brings us to the greatest problem of the ages. Neither prophet nor apostle, angel nor archangel could answer it. God is holy, and his holiness exposed man's sin. God is righteous, and his justice demands man's punishment. How then could God's merciful heart be known to men? This was the unanswerable question of the ages. Who could solve it? Only one. Neighbor, I must tell you, his name is Jesus. He answered it and manifested his glory as the wisdom of God. Here was his answer. My Father, I will go down to earth. I will become man. I will glorify thee on the earth. Then I will become man's sin bearer, and I will suffer for his sins. I will lay down my life in sacrifice, so thy love and mercy can flow out to every repentant sinner. Or to put his answer in one word, it was Calvary. It was Calvary that made possible these wonderful words. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God of love was interested in that dehumanized leper. In Leviticus 13, we read of his condemnation, and in the very next chapter, we read of what was to be done in the day of his cleansing. We read of two birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. But what good could these do? None. They could not cleanse the leper, nor remove the plague that was in his head. All the rituals of the law could not meet man's need. All the sacrifices of the law could not cleanse man's sins, nor could his commandments change man's sinful nature. the law that was holy and just and good, could offer life to those who obeyed all its holy commandments. But rebellious man had broken them. Instead of a lifeline, the law became a death line to man. The altars of the law dripped with blood, but the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. The law had its priesthood, but the priest's garments so often but covered over another sinner. A careful reader of Leviticus 13 and 14 will observe this. It speaks about the unclean leper and the day of his cleansing and the celebration of it, but how was he cleansed? The man could not cleanse himself, nor can you cleanse yourself, neighbor. You may reform from some of your old habits and get your body baptized in water, but nothing you can do for yourself will cleanse away your sins or change your wicked nature. Nor could the law, the priest, the birds, or all else cleanse the leper. The procedures under the law could only declare their own inability to save, and then as types point to the coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were like John the Baptist. They declared they could not save, and they pointed at Jesus, crying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world." In the days of Moses, Leviticus 13 was often practiced, and leprous men were exposed and judged. But Leviticus 14 was never practiced, for who could cleanse the leper? We'll read of the day of his cleansing, but that day never came. How often those priests must have said to Moses, "Moses, when will we do this? No lepers are ever cleansed." That was why when Jesus our Lord came and he cleansed the lepers, he sent them right off to the priest so that the law might be fulfilled and Israel might know that their Christ, their Savior, had really come. Never did the law cleanse one leper, but when Christ came, he cleansed them 10 at a time. This brings us to that wonderful Bible verse that says, "For what the law could not do, God sent in his own Son." The law could not and the law did not meet the need of us sinful creatures, but Christ could and Christ did meet all our need. Blessed be his name forever. Hallelujah. Today, as men turn away from God and choose sin, should we be surprised at their mental collapse? How can a man have peace of mind when he knows that his wicked sins will receive God's retribution and judgment, and for him hellfire lies just ahead? That's enough to run a man crazy. How can a man have a mind at rest when he knows that at any moment he may lose his last opportunity to be saved, and he be doomed forever? Is that not enough to unbalance one? To hide the fact of sin and the reality of eternity would only buoy up people with false hopes and make the shock the greater when the real truth is faced. Where is a remedy? In the cleansing of the leper, we first see the priest, second, the blood, and third, the oil. These types present to us God's answer to all a man's troubles, whether spiritual, physical, or mental. First, the priest typified our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. The leper saw the priest come, bringing everything the leper needed and doing all the work himself. Neighbor, you may have that experience now, and it will produce in you a real rest of soul and mind. Who could be a more hopeless mental case than was the man named Legion in the Bible? He lived among the tombs, cutting himself with stones, and so wild they had to chain him. Yet when he came to Jesus, he is restored to his right mind, and he becomes such a mighty preacher that all men did marvel. Read about him in Mark chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ came to meet the need of sinners, your need and mine, and he provided everything that God demanded. He had what it took, and he gave it. A holy life, he lived it. An unbroken law, he kept it. A spotless sacrifice, he gave it. Atoning blood, he laid it down at Calvary. Everything, yes, everything that God demanded, he provided. When our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, what more could have been given? What more could God demand? And what more do you need? That's why Christians love to sing, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." The second type was blood. The blood was shed by the priest. It was sprinkled on the man. And when he was cleansed, he was marked by blood as he returned to the camp of Israel. Then the priest that had condemned him as unclean pronounced him clean. The Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. God himself pronounced us clean. I tell you, neighbor, when you know your sins are all cleansed in the blood of Jesus, you can lie down to sleep in perfect quietness, for you will have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Such an one is not frantic, even in the presence of death. He doesn't send for the priest, the rabbi, or the preacher, but instead he quietly faces death, saying, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sins, and I have peace. Neighbor, it is God's peace that will steady the mind and keep it from running wild. Two things marked out the leper returning to the camp of Israel. He was marked by blood, and he had a look of peace and rest, for the plague of his head and that of his heart were all gone. These two go together, peace and blood. For Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. Calvary is the basis of all real peace in the soul toward God. Every Christian is both cleansed from his sins in Jesus' blood, and he is also marked by blood. Blood on his hand, that is what he does. Blood on his foot, that is where he walks. And blood on his head, that is what he thinks. I tell you, neighbor, when you've been to Calvary, it'll do more for you than put a cross on the church house steeple. That cross will radically change your thoughts of things, so you will think of everything as God thinks of it. That cross will change your walk, for instead of going to the dance, you'll go to the prayer meeting. That cross will change your deeds, for the Bible will take the place of the cards and the dice, and the hand that once clutched the destructive cigarette will now hold out to others gospel tracts with their message of salvation. Why? Because you've been to Calvary. Both cleansed and branded by blood. That's why Paul cried, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And the third type was the oil. It was put wherever the blood was, on the hand, on the foot, and on the head. In the Bible, the oil is the Holy Spirit. And all those redeemed by Jesus' blood have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. His foot has oil on it. The Holy Spirit directs his walk as he's led by the Spirit of God. His hand has the oil on it, for by the Holy Spirit he now has power to work for God. And his head has the oil poured all over it, for that plague in his head is gone, and the Holy Spirit takes over the complete control of his life. No longer does the mind run wild, nor do the imagination stretch out into forbidden paths, but all are brought into captivity to the glory of Christ. What then is the cure for man's mental illness? Man whose plague is in his head. Sin is the curse, and Christ is the cure. Christ alone. Now trust yourself to him, and your troubled mind will have rest, real rest. By his precious blood you will be cleansed from the stain and guilt of your sins, and you will have a peace of mind that is divine, for it is God's peace. And within you will feel the real presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Under his leadership you can walk. In his power you can triumph over every difficulty and be more than a conqueror. Some of you, my neighbors, are impossible to help. Why? Your plague is in your head. You say, I will not accept anything that is not reasonable to my mind and thinking. My message is that God so loved us sinners that he gave his beloved Son to come and save us by dying for our sins. In my 81 years, I have never found any reason for God to sacrifice his dear Son to save wicked, defiant sinners, as are we the sons of men. So if I must have some reason for such grace and mercy on God's part to you and me, then I must strike you off the list as impossible. God's love and grace is all contrary to human reason. It can be compared to nothing that is in us or that proceeds from us. So the first thing you must do is to resign your reason and realize that it is just as the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I would further challenge you a bit. Tell me, why would you live on in the miseries of your sins and go arm in arm with the devil to that everlasting fire God prepared for the devil? when you might be saved from your sins by the Lord Jesus Christ to live a blessed life here on earth and then go to be with Jesus in his home in heaven. Why? Tell me how your philosophy of reason answers this. Is there any reason for such a decision on your part? See then how that all your ways must be resigned and all your thoughts junked, and you just as a little child and a helpless leper bow at the throne of God to learn of that heavenly wisdom so marvelously displayed in God's salvation in Jesus Christ. When this is done, your hungry soul will drink in the message of God's salvation, how that Christ died for our sins, and rising from the dead, he's able to save to the uttermost such wicked sinners as you are and I was. When we come to God by him, hear the divine word: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neighbor, act now on God's offer, and as a lost sinner, call on the Lord Jesus Christ as you confess him as your Lord and entrust your eternal soul to him to save you. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.